to each and every one of you for your help in assisting me in moving into Ohio. It's astounding to me the love that you have shown, and I cannot call out everybody's name who has donated stuff for me and helped me, and I don't want to miss anybody in giving thanks to you and the love that you've shown me, and I don't want to incur your wrath by not calling you out, so I'm just saying thank you.
I need your pass, but it's in your pocket.
Hello? Hello?
It's just it wasn't bit through your mouth.
You hear Mal?
Maybe.
I just think that
hopefully. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would use me this morning. Father, that what I say will be effective and it will pierce into the darkness that the enemy has placed over our minds and our hearts. I pray you give us spiritual ears to hear. And Father, that you would use this time. You would use this time, O God, to cause us to grow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy on us and your love for us and your forgiveness. In the name of Jesus. It's kind of funny because the first song we sang was the word forgiveness. Why does this keep popping up? And that's what I want to share this morning, is about forgiveness. The very foundation of our redemption is forgiveness. So I'm going to start out by saying that if I have offended anybody in this place, that you forgive me. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 37. And this story is about Joseph. Now you got to picture this. He was the favorite son of his father, and his father had made him a special coat of colors, and his brothers was jealous, and they was out in the field taking care of the flocks of their father, and the father sent Joseph with some food and things for his brothers. And when they seen him coming down the road, we're talking about his brothers, his own brothers, and they wanted to kill him. That's how much they hated him. Think about it, if your brothers, if you have one, hated you so much they wanted you dead. That's some pretty sad narrative. But Judah convinced them to sell him into slavery instead of killing him. And you probably know most of the story, how he became a slave to Potiphar, And he was falsely accused of attempting to rape his wife, Potiphar's wife, and he was in prison. He was falsely accused. And they say that he was in that prison from between 3 and 11 years for something he did not do. They didn't have air conditioning then. He was in shackles in a dungeon. Have you ever thought about what was going through his mind over that time that he was in prison, about his brothers and how he had been betrayed? Some of you here might feel like you've been betrayed. Maybe your spouse has done you wrong. Maybe your brother or your sister has done you dirty. You know what? You really have to forgive. Even if they don't ask. Sometimes pride will keep a person from admitting that they're wrong. I speak from experience. I was down in Honduras for 12 years, up on a mountaintop. Most of you know the story. I've had machetes to my throat. I have guns to my head. But through it all, you know what? I forgave. I had everything in my house stolen. Everything, including my bed. I forgave. And you know what happened, Brad? Them people on that mountain, they loved me. The MS-13 gang, some of you probably know them, know about them. They run that mountain. Everything that happens on that mountain, they run that mountain. They was my friends. They looked out for me. And people reached out and said, "We appreciate you. And we thank you for being here." These criminals, because I forgave. Joseph spent 13 years or 11 years in a dungeon in a rat-infested area with a minimal amount of food. And I imagine when they locked those shackles on his ankles and his wrist, he was probably contemplating on getting even or trying to get even with his brothers. But as the days progressed, the Lord touches his heart and he changes his disposition and his attitude towards his brothers. When the story ends in this chapter, in chapter 45 of Genesis, all his brothers come in front of him. And the Bible does not say that he actually pronounced the words that "I forgive you," but his actions tells the story. Because the Bible says that he wept over every one of them and he kissed them. His heart was broken for his brothers, that he got to see them again. He forgave them. Hallelujah. Think about this, folks. His own brothers that was out to kill him, sells him into slavery for years. He ends up in prison for years. And he wraps his arms around them and he shows the forgiveness. I learned many years ago through a teaching from the ecumenical movement of the Catholic Church that when somebody offends you and that person forgives, that person that does the forgiving should look in the other person's eyes and tell them that they are forgiven. The eyes are what, Brad?
The light
of the soul. And when you look in somebody's eyes and tell them that you forgive them, it releases them from the guilt of what they had done wrong to offend you. And it sets them free and it sets you free. When you forgive, it's an act of your will. It's not an act of your emotions. You determine in your heart that they are forgiven. And when they are forgiven, your actions will show that you have forgiven. We can say sometimes, and somebody has done us wrong or talked bad about us, and we say we forgive them, but we're walking away as we're saying, I forgive you. But the actions always follows. Joseph showed by his actions that they was really forgiven. And even though the Bible doesn't say so, I would assume that he told them that he forgave them. Over in Acts chapter 7, Stephen is ready to be stoned to death for something he did not do. He was in front of a mob that was going to stone him. In the outer ring of this mob stood a man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, Stephen said, Lord, lay not this sin at their charge. And I imagine he was looking around when he said this. And he seen the stones in their hands. He knew he was going to die that hot day. Lay not this sin to their charge. Forgive them, Lord, for what they are about to do. Because he uttered those words, that man named Saul, who was on the outer perimeter of that mob, was released from his sins. The foundation of our walk with the Lord is forgiveness. Jesus said in Matthew 6, if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. Did you hear that? Let me say that again. No matter what has gone on in your life, that somebody has lied about you has turned their back on you, has destroyed your reputation, has stolen from you, abused you, used you. Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. In other words, if you don't forgive, when you stand before the Lord, He's going to hold you accountable. He's going to hold you accountable. And I can't speak for you, but I don't want to be held accountable. And the only way that that's going to happen is if we forgive. If I forgive, no matter who does what or says what. Now you got to close your eyes for just a second, please. This is hard for me. God is absolutely, totally holy and perfect in all His ways. And God decided before this, whatever He created and everything that He created, He determined that God Himself would leave the absolute holiness of heaven and the worshiping of the uncountable angels. And He would come to this planet, which must have been terrible indeed, to be born in a cave, spend 33 years of His life trying to show the love of God. Keep your eyes closed, please. And in the last week of His life, He is interceding for mankind. And He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the ones that He surrounded Himself with was going to desert Him. This is the holy God we're talking about, manifested in the flesh. One of His inner council betrays Him. With a kiss. And He is taken by the Roman soldiers to stand before Pilate and to be condemned. And after judgment has been rendered, He is stripped of His robes and He is beaten. With 39 stripes on His back. And then, after they had beaten Him and spit on Him, anybody been spit on in here? They put the cross on His shoulders and forced Him to walk to Golgotha. We're talking about a holy God here who did nothing, absolutely nothing, to deserve what was happening to him. And he walks up Calvary's Hill and they laid him down on the ground to that cross that he created. And did you notice something? They didn't force him to lay down. They didn't force him to stretch out his arms so that his hands could be nailed to that cross. He did it willingly. And after they had nailed him to that cross, help me, Lord. They suspended him between heaven and earth. And his holy blood was flowing from his crown, from the crowns in his head, down his face, that pure loving face, and saturated his body and dripped down the cross to the sin-sick world. And while he is hanging in the hot noonday sun, he cries out, "Lord, forgive them. They don't know." Forgive them, Lord. They don't know what they're doing. He released us that day down through the quarters of time and space. He forgave so that you could be forgiven. And you know what? It's free. You understand, it's free. It's free. In Matthew 18, it talks, Jesus was talking about this man who owed this unpayable debt that he could not pay. It was immense. You know what? You owe the Father an immense debt that you neither merit nor deserve to be forgiven from. And this man that owed this all this money to his master, his master forgave him. But the man turns around, and this fellow servant owed that man what amounts to about $15. And the man would not forgive. What is wrong with people? What's wrong with us? Since we started this prayer group on Saturday afternoons, we've been praying for harmony and unity, and for the leadership, that we would come together and we fight in the spiritual realm against this spirit of division and misunderstanding. And that there would be forgiveness. Even if the other individual doesn't ask forgiveness. We fight with our words that the enemy is not going to destroy this church. We're not going to allow it. We're not going to allow it. We're going to forgive freely because you've been forgiven freely. There might be some people here that's kind of hard-hearted and won't talk to somebody else in this body. You know what? You're hurting yourself. You are actually hurting yourself. And you're hurting this body also. When you don't forgive, you're binding yourself up with chain. That lesson that I learned long ago is reality, it's truth. You might say you forgive, but in the process and you're turning your back while you're saying it and you don't really mean it. You need to look the individual in the eyes and tell them they're forgiven. And then, the actions will prove it. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for our hard-heartedness. Matthew 18:35 says, if ye from your hearts, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his trespasses, it's got to come from the heart, folks. And what a release. What a release. You know what? If I would have hung on to that anger and resentment when I was trying to help those people down there in Honduras, I would have probably been dead. Instead of them people encouraging me and blessing me. And helping me. Because those people, believe me, they have some hard hearts. Some of them. The criminal elements down there. But it brought me freedom that I could leave my house and walk 5 blocks down to a store to get some food. And leave my door open and nothing missing. And I could walk on that mountainside in the middle of the night, a gringo, and nothing happens. You know why? Because I forgave. Your life probably has not been in danger like mine was. But you know what? If you don't forgive, your life is in danger. I pray that this message this morning will touch somebody's heart and change the way that they are living their lives in anger and resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness. You know what? When you refuse to forgive, there's a bile that from your gallbladder that produces an acid, and that acid eats away at your stomach lining, among other places. And you know what? You can die from that. You can literally die from it, from that unforgiveness. Think about that. Amy, could you come up here, please? Could you play that song? Folks, if you harbor any resentment or bitterness towards somebody in this congregation, I'm asking you to go to that individual, whoever it does that you think did you wrong, and I'm asking you to tell them that they are forgiven. Look them in the eye and tell them that they are forgiven. And when you walk out the doors today, you're going to notice that there's a change in you. In you. And it'll also produce a change in that individual. And they'll have a new perspective on what it means to love as Christ loved.